Welcome to Effective Brainstorming. So in this session, we're going to talk a little bit about brainstorming, and I'm going to introduce a technique called mind mapping, and you'll actually be creating your own mind maps in this session. So today, when you leave the session, you should have some more ideas on how to make your brainstorming more effective, and also be able to create a mind map individually and as a group. So just by show of hands, how many of you have brainstormed in the past 3 months? Well, good, fair amount. And brainstormers, how many of you felt that your brainstorming sessions were effective? Okay. It's good. So hopefully you'll take some ideas back to the office. So brainstorming combines a relaxed, informal approach to problem solving with lateral thinking. It asks that people come up with ideas and thoughts that could possibly seem a little bit crazy at first, but then the idea here is that you want to take some of the ideas and you can craft it into some original creative solutions to the problem you're trying to solve, and then spark more ideas. And this approach gets people unstuck, and you kind of jolt them out of their normal ways of thinking. And it's important that during a brainstorming session, there shouldn't be any criticism of ideas. You're trying to open up possibilities and break down the wrong assumptions that that there's limits to a problem that can't be solved. So brainstorming is a great tool in any situation to bring out ideas and stimulate the creative thought processes. And some of the benefits of brainstorming may include encouragement of creativity and expanding of thinking to see different perspectives of the problem of solving idea of problem solving and idea development. And that the great thing about brainstorming is that everyone is included equally and every idea is a worthy one. And brainstorming can help ideas to grow quickly, and that it can dramatically increase productivity, and it can help develop your lateral thinking. So there's several fundamental requirements for a successful or effective brainstorming session. Careful and thorough preparation is important for a successful creative brainstorming session. You want to recognize and be able to set goals, and you want to be specific with your problems and your goals. And having a strong facilitator during your brainstorming session is essential for good results. You want them to maintain control of the session so your objectives are met. And they should also lead participants and make sure that people don't interrupt one another and never say anything negative about an idea. It's also important to have a scribe to capture all the ideas from the brainstorming session. You want to have a diversity of participants, and you want to bring people in, people who represent different points of view. And about a group of 4 to 6 people are ideal, because a larger group can be really cumbersome and hard to manage. You also want to brief the participants so that everybody knows what you're trying to accomplish, and they must be familiar with the problem you're trying to solve. And when you are brainstorming, you want to have an environment where it takes the people out of work and make them feel comfortable and relaxed. Make sure you leave the phones and laptops at the door. And it's important to relax and also listen, because you want to listen to the contributions of other people and build on them. But you want to also set the stage that you're not really expecting anything out of them. And when you leave the brainstorming session, you should have an understanding of what the next step is. So it's important to have a plan of action so that when people leave this brainstorming session, they will know what's expected of them and what their next steps are. There's a lot of different types of effective brainstorming activities out there. We're going to talk about brute think, random picture, and of course my favorite is mind mapping. And what brute think is, it's a technique that you draw or you pick a random word and then you bring it into the problem that you're having. So for example, you're having a problem that's, you want to improve your relationship with a manager, and then you pick the random word pencil. So how do you draw the connections between the two? So when I think of pencil, I might think, oh, an eraser is a component of the pencil. And to force the connections between the two, I might say, we both keep bringing up past failures and we need to erase them. So maybe that is a possible solution to improve the relationship with the manager. And another technique, it's called random picture. And obviously the first thing you need for this brainstorming technique is to pick a random picture, which I did from Flickr. And you could look at the picture and extract a concept or an idea from it and use the idea to stimulate a possible solution to your problem. You could try and see anything in the picture that reminds you of your problem and how that might be solved. Like what activities going on, what situations being faced, and why are people doing what they're doing and what principles are being used. And of course, another technique is mind mapping. So the definition of mind mapping is a mind map harnesses the full range of cortical skills, word, image, number, logic, rhythm, color, and spatial awareness in a single, uniquely powerful technique. In doing so, it gives you the freedom to roam the infinite expanse of your brain. And that comes from Tony Buzan. He is the originator of mind maps, and it was developed in the late 1960s. So here's a sample of what a mind map looks like. So mind map is a creative way to solve a problem, and in doing so, it energizes you and makes you more creative than ever before. A mind map is a colorful visual picture of an issue at hand, and it's all on a single piece of paper. So this frees the brain to think, see, and understand in ways that can't happen with a multi-page linear document of the same information. It breaks the traditional way of linear thinking and provides a way for individuals and teams to plan, learn, increase productivity, save time, improve recall, and create using the logic of association and the full range of cortical skills. So there are three basic elements to a mind map. The first thing you have to do is to identify keywords. And why do you want to identify keywords is that the most obvious reason is that you want to save room on your paper. So if you can condense your idea onto just one word, that would be ideal. So maybe my problem is that I want to think about maybe some new topping for pizza. So I put the keyword pizza in the middle and draw a circle around it. Then I will start creating branches. That's the second element to creating a mind map. So I'll draw branches stemming from my keyword in the middle. And then I'll write associated keywords that I think of from pizza, like say cheese, dough, oven, topping, and sauce. Hope you can read my chicken scratch. And then from there, I will draw sub-branches. For example, from cheese, I thought of goat, stinky, and socks. Kind of get the idea. So you can keep going on. You can also draw simple icons to go with your mind map. It will help you be more creative, but if you're more comfortable with just using words, then that is also fine. So at this point, I think Eric's going to give you an exercise, a mind map exercise.
Okay, so what we want to do next is take 10 minutes of time and just do a quick mind map exercise. And what we're going to do is, this is just going to be an individual exercise. You're going to do this solo amongst yourselves. We just want to give you 10 minutes to practice this. So just going over the steps really quickly, we want you to identify a keyword, then start branching off with the next levels, and then going on from there. Now, I think the idea here is that we want this to be meaningful for you. So feel free to pick some personal, maybe a project at work that you can think of a keyword that you'd like to start brainstorming off of. Maybe something's going on in your life that you want to use. We're not going to have you discuss these with your neighbor or with us. We're not going to have you come up here and show them to everybody. Certainly not. These are just personal for you. So feel free to do whatever you'd like. But we want you to get a little bit of exercise. Mind mapping exercise. We do have some paper and pens. If you don't have your own paper and pens, this gentleman right here in the middle of the room has those for you, so just get his attention if you need. Okay, so we're just going to give you about 10 minutes. choose a keyword, and like Kat was talking about, this is supposed to open up the expanses of your brain. So feel free to get creative. Feel free to get a little crazy with the concepts. It does not have to make sense. It's just important that you're starting to travel down those places that your brain wants to go when thinking about these concepts. If you can't think of anything, nothing's coming to mind right now that you'd like to brainstorm, I have an idea for you. And if you do this idea, please tell me, because it's actually a personal project of mine, and I'd love to get your creative ideas. We are at my office, we're working on a project right now where we're creating a marketing campaign for fundraising. And we're raising funds for a museum that's going to be created in the Evanston community of Cincinnati. And it's for the old King Records studio that used to exist here in Cincinnati from about 1949 to, I think, 1971, right around there. We had a lot of really good key musicians. It was a very important music center here in Cincinnati. The most famous recording artist at King Records that you might have heard of would be James Brown. He did a lot of his earlier stuff here. So we're creating fundraising for a museum that'll be in Evanston. So I might, if I was going to approach this and try to get some really creative ideas, I might start with a word like music, or rock and roll, or maybe even museum. And then I would just branch off from there and see where my mind went in a mind mapping technique. So I also found that when I'm really going fast with this, I don't want to stop and draw a little piece of cheese or something else. I want to go on to the next idea. We had that feedback from our group as well. And that's cool. I mean, do whatever this is going to be useful for you. Maybe in something that's not necessarily a brainstorming exercise, but more of a ordering thoughts. You know, you have thoughts that you just want to get out there and you have more time to process those thoughts. Maybe drawing some small icons will help you in some way prompt more thoughts and get those thoughts fleshed out. Do whatever works for you is obviously the thing here. Did anybody have any really strange concepts that came out from this? Some places that your brain went that you didn't think it would. You don't have to tell me what they are. I'm just curious if that happened at all. Nods, shakes. Nope, no one did. We didn't go weird today, huh? Okay, that's fine. Maybe sometime you will. I think after that 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 party last night, we would have went pretty weird. Okay, so the final part of our presentation, we're going to talk about a technique that you can use with groups of people, this mind mapping technique that you can use with groups. I'm going to tell you the steps to use with a group for mind mapping. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the advantages of using this technique, and then we're going to close up with some tips and tricks on this technique. Okay. Pushing the slide. You sure can?
What do you do from here?
From here with the mind map? So essentially, just like all brainstorming exercises, now you've had a dump of creativity onto a paper. Now you take those ideas and you can assess where actual actionable items can come out of. The whole point here is that a lot of times when you start with, I need to do something, I need to do a task for this project, you're kind of already starting off by eliminating a vast expanse of brain power that could be coming up with new things. So just like a lot of brainstorming exercises, it's just intended to get you thinking. So, I mean, I would say, what do you want to do after this? You know, how do you want to use that information? Is it helpful for you? Does anybody have a better answer than that? We'd totally love to hear it. So his answer was, you take those ideas that came out of that mind map and you start to outline those. You break those down into more of a traditional hierarchy outline of thoughts and ideas. That helps other people who haven't seen mind maps relate to those ideas better. Thank you for that. Okay, steps for a group exercise involving mind mapping. The first thing that you're going to want to do, get together your project team, your creative group, whatever the case may be, and get into a room and solo mind map. You're going to create your own individual mind map like you just did a few minutes ago. Choose a keyword so that everyone is on the same page with the keyword that you start with. Okay, so then you go through, you do just what you did, where you're getting those crazy ideas, you're allowing your brain to kind of move through those various thoughts that are occurring to you. After about, say, 10 minutes, like we did, stop. Come back together as a group. Step two is you're going to choose your facilitator or scribe. Is that what I have up there? Oh, no, step two up there. Choose your facilitator and scribe who will come up and actually capture your group mind map, which is going to be a big old mind map. You're going to want lots of sheets of paper on the wall to do this. Then as a group, you're going to decide on your basic categories. The literature calls this the basic ordering ideas, but all it is are those initial branches that come off of the keyword. So in the example of pizza, you had cheese, dough, sauce, etc. This helps everyone sort of stay on the same page and kind of gives a bit of order to the ideas that are going to be coming in from the group. Okay, so you've got your solo mind maps, capturing your own individual ideas. You've got your basic ordering ideas figured out, and you've got your person who's going to be writing it on the board. Then you just go to town. And this literally is just saying ideas to the scribe capturing them. We did this as a group, and I was going to talk about this in the tips and tricks, but I'll say it now. We did this as a group with Kat and some of our coworkers, and it went really well. The only thing we didn't do is we didn't choose a single keyword for everyone to focus on. And that had the result of it was very difficult to start this process because everyone was coming at it from a different angle. So we feel it's pretty important that you do kind of set that initial keyword to get started. Okay, so what are some advantages to doing this way? Well, one of the advantages is that since you're doing this in a mind map form, there's no hierarchy of ideas. There's not one idea that's better than another. There's not one contributor that's better than another. Because this the radial format of the mind map, there is no hierarchy. Everything's equal. Another advantage of doing this group mind mapping technique is that you capture all the ideas from the group. Maybe you've seen the humorous poster, the demotivational posters. There's one, I think it's got a lot of hands in a huddle. They're all clutched. And the top or the caption says meetings, and then underneath it says, none of us are as stupid as all of us, or none of us are as dumb as all of us. That's that idea of groupthink, right? So we all come up with these ideas, and they're in our head, and they're really working out. Then we get into this group, and those ideas start watering down because they're being blended with other things. This technique actually allows you to capture those initial ideas. Maybe later they'll change and evolve into new things, but right now you're just getting everyone's ideas. Okay, so some tips and tricks. I already gave one away. I do want to focus on the second to the last one as well. When you're doing this, obviously some ideas are just going to fall outside of those initial basic ordering ideas. Okay, that's okay. Definitely capture them, maybe in a miscellaneous branch or a parking lot, but be sure to have it on the group mind map. Don't just put it on another flip chart paper somewhere that says parking lot. The reason is you want to be able to draw those relationships, if they pop up, with miscellaneous concepts, okay? So you're going to want to have those on your group mind map. Those are the tips and tricks section, and that pretty much ends the part of our presentation where we talk at you. Now what we want to do is just open it up to the floor. One thing I've noticed about this high ed web thing so far in the few sessions that I've been in is I've learned a lot more from the people around me sharing ideas and sharing their experiences. So we want to give you a chance to actually talk to us a little bit. And the question basically is, do you have any experiences brainstorming that went particularly well? Any methods or techniques that you used that you thought went well? Or conversely, do you have any that absolutely stunk that you wouldn't recommend people try at all? And we'll let you say mind mapping if that's one of them. That's fine. But just want to open that up to the group. Does anyone have any experiences they'd like to share with everyone? Yeah, right back here. And I'm sorry, we don't have actually we do. Maybe I'll run around and get this mic to you. Maybe I'll go this way. going to bring the mic around. Thank you, Steve.
Yes, do you have any particular techniques that a facilitator could use if someone in the group is overpowering and keeps promoting their own agenda?
So just to repeat the question, I'm not sure if I heard the whole thing. Any tips for a facilitator? A group is sort of overpowering, did you say?
One person in the group
is overpowering. I'm going to open that up to the group. Kat might have some ideas too, but I'm going to open up that to the group. Have you ever been in a facilitated session where there is one individual who seems to control the room? They put their ideas forward, and everyone else is kind of playing polite or holding back a little bit or just not able to get a word out edgewise. What are some techniques that you could use to encourage additional participation? Yeah, right here in the green shirt.
Well, I mean, I would probably recommend doing some negative brainstorming, which would be, you know, I mean, because that person is trying to control the room because he or she has an issue with the foundation of the topic or some, you know, politics within the room, personal relationships. So if you just go through like 3 minutes of negative brainstorming and say, you know, this sucks, that sucks. this idea will never go through because the president's going to hate it. Then you get all the negativity out of the way, and then you can just go into the positive brainstorming.
So that's really interesting. I've never heard that concept before, negative brainstorming, where you, as a group, you kind of just get it out there. I hate this idea. All right. How does that work? I can see a lot of feelings getting hurt if the way I'm picturing it. I guess you got to set some ground rules that you're just having fun or something. How does that work in a
well? I mean, you know, respect is always a necessary component in brainstorming, and I think that has to be a common understanding. It's not a session to hurt each other, but it's. I mean, you are doing it with the common understanding that you're getting to a constructive discussion about something.
Yeah, I think that would be a ton of fun. And I can see it being really good with a group that you're already extremely comfortable with and you have those good relationships with, and then maybe one person's just getting negativity out a little too often. Cool, thank you very much for that. Did anyone else? Yeah, there's...
The simplest thing is just don't invite them the next time. You know, send that message pretty clearly that you're looking for people that are constructive in your brainstorming sessions. And if someone is showing that attitude, you know, try your best one-on-one to get rid of it, but then, you know, just exclude them.
Thanks a lot for that. Yeah, set up your group to succeed initially.
Two other thoughts on that. One, oftentimes when we want to propose something, if we exclude someone from the process, that's their primary motivation from trying to vote it down later. And so there's a risk associated with that. To go back to the earlier question, one suggestion I would have would be, as the moderator, so I mean, it's not the moderator who's trying to control a discussion, is to bring out the people who are silent. We've heard a lot from you. Can we ask, you know, I noticed that someone else over here looks like he has something to say. What do you think about this? And just as your moderator, it's kind of your responsibility to draw out the people who aren't as actively participating.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I was going to follow up on exactly what you were saying, is in the sense of, as far as a facilitator needs to, again, moderate the discussion, and one way of doing that is, again, the people that are silent, you need to go to a round robin method and say, well, I'm hearing from you, Ted, a lot, but I need to hear from you, Brian, or you, Gail, or whomever it is. What are your thoughts? You're not trying to silence a person, but what you're trying to do is it kind of speaks to the diversity in a way. You're trying to get, kind of going back to what you said at the beginning of the presentation, is that you're looking for diverse mind thinking here. You want conceptual or contextual diversity as opposed to you have these people all in a room.
Restating the purpose that why we're all here is because we all have these different points of view and we're going to come up with different things. Also, something you mentioned earlier about not chastising the person, but encouraging other people to speak. Great, thank you for that. Yep.
Oh, a comment and a question. One thought I had was that We had a brainstorming session, and our VP was there, and it can be a little intimidating, can kind of damp down the free flow of ideas. So on the one hand, it's a good thought that, well, include people who might shoot it down later, which could be the VP, but also maybe talk to him or her beforehand and say, hey, we'd like to do this. Do you think, you know, you could sit this out just so people don't feel inhibited? So that's a comment. My question is, do you think it's better to give people a heads up about the idea before the session and say, think about it, or do you believe they should just come completely fresh and their mind starts working right when you get them in the first session?
Right. Yeah, that actually plays into our pilot group that we did with our coworkers. So I have a thought about that, but does anyone else have a strong feeling about that? Is it better to sort of prime the pump a little bit before you have your brainstorming session, or just come in and just see what happens during that session? What do you guys think?
As far as agendas go, instead of possibly coming into a mind mapping session or group session, have a starter list of keywords. Here's some keywords that I think we should work on. And then if someone wants to add to that list, that's great. But then the first part of the meeting should be agreeing on which one you're going to tackle.
I think that's great. I think that when we did our pilot group with our coworkers, that technique would have helped us a lot stay on the same page. And when we were trying to put together our group map, we would have been ready to go there. Did we fully answer that question? I think it was a great question. I just want to make sure no one else had any thoughts about that. Priming the pump versus clean slate. Okay, next question or comment.
Hi. I was just wondering if you had any experience with using different mind mapping software like MindMeister, and if computer-based mind mapping is better or, you know, not better than just paper-based.
Right. So there are, there are software, there's online software, there's also, I think, a couple of open source projects that can be downloaded to your machine that you can use for this mind mapping practice. Did we have any thoughts about that?
I would say it depends.
Yeah, I
would say that it depends of what you're most comfortable with, and I think the end results are the same.
I noticed that one thing about mind mapping is it is so simple in concept. The nice thing is you can do it with paper and pen, but the software often adds layers of complexity on it and maybe slows you down just a little bit with dragging and dropping and that sort of thing. Do you have experience with it or thoughts on that yourself?
Well, I'm just starting to get into using MindMeister for some group projects.
Okay.
And I tried this exercise today using MindMeister.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And I was looking around at other people's papers, and like,
yes,
they had like a lot, and I only have a few different nodes or whatever, and I felt like I was a bit limited by the software because I was trying to figure out how to use it.
I think that's a great observation. Thank you for sharing that. And if I could, one other thought about that is that notion. Oh, I've seen this thing, especially in the literature, where people sort of present their beautiful mind maps with color and pictures and groupings and stuff, as if the mind map itself was the end that they were going for. And I think that kind of misses the point personally. I don't think you make pretty mind maps. I think you make something that allows you to capture those ideas and then springboard off of. But if you're making art, well, I guess that's okay. But make sure you're getting creative too. And I'm wondering if maybe that software kind of gets into that, where it's just making it too pretty and focusing too much on the presentation. All right, sorry. Yes.
I'll agree that it's a lot more free doing it freehand. But at the same time, you know, even if it is something messy, it's something that you're like, you know, you've got some really good ideas on here. This is something that should be shared. I mean, for example, I took you up on doing the music thing. And I mean, I'm just going to rip out the piece of paper and give it to you. But it'd be nice if,
awesome,
you know, I could, you know, if it were like inter-office, I could email it and just really easily, something like that. So that even if it is messy, it can be shared neatly. And, you know, ideally, maybe that will trigger somebody else's brainstorming something else. So, I mean, I feel like it could go both ways. Easier to do on paper, but advantages of being able to share it easily.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there are some benefits then to actually sharing those mind maps. It really depends, and I'd want to see groups using that a little bit more to understand how they're doing it. A lot of times my mind map, if I do a mind map, can't be understood by anyone else. Yes?
Just a comment. Take a photo of your mind map and email it.
Right.
I was going to kind of second what he was saying. when I do mine, my kind of sessions for me, I use, I think it's Free Mind Map or whatever, Free Mind, whatever it's called. But in that sense, not only am I recording what I'm doing, and then later, the tool actually will help me. I mentioned earlier about putting it into an outline. It will actually rotate it. It'll go from what I call horizontal thinking to a vertical thinking kind of format.
Oh,
it'll put it in that in that outline format, and then you can start to do ranking and categorization. Sorry, that sort of thing. The other thing that the lady was saying too is that pictures are sometimes worth a thousand words, and I've done it that way too. It's a great way to record group mind mapping sessions.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that. And did you say Free Mind? Was that?
I believe yeah.
Okay. We're going to put together a couple of lists, or a list of some of these resources that will be available in the presentation. We'll include some of these links that we're talking about in the session today, in case you want to check them out yourself. Yes?
So I'm wondering if there are topics or ideas or projects that are not very well suited for this kind of an exercise. If there are things that are too big or too broad, or, you know, how do you kind of, do you need to narrow it down before you start doing this?
Thank you for the question. I have a response to that, and I do want to open it up to the floor. But I noticed in our group that where we tried this, the more basic and more evocative the word, the easier it was to springboard new creative ideas off of. For example, we started with pizza, and it went really quickly. People were like, idea, idea, idea. It was great. But then we tried, what was it, like fundraising for a museum or something crazy, like real specific, and it didn't get slow, but it wasn't as creative. People were already going into actionable items, tasks that I can do when I get back to my desk and things like that. So I found the more simple, basic, but evocative words to work better, at least in this example. But I'd love to hear if there was a different experience or a similar one from the group. Right over here. Thanks, Steve.
I'm getting my exercise today.
Yes, you certainly are. Thank you.
I'm just going to piggyback on what you said. When we did do pizza, and then we talked about fundraising for the museum, we talked about King Records, but we broke it down to a very simple word. Like, for me, I chose music.
Yep.
And it went all the way to costume parties, keyboards, just, but in the back of my mind, although I was creative, I kind of kept the goal in mind. So I think you can take any project, as long as you can break it down to something very simple and it gets you started.
That was helpful, I think, to get us going. So, yeah, we've got this gentleman right here.
Yeah, I just wanted to, it's just a general comment. One of the most, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard about brainstorming is every idea is innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, not to say anything about negative brainstorming, I've never heard of that term before, but if you start shooting ideas down right away, that really sucks the energy out of a brainstorming session, probably more than having your vice president sit in on the on the session. So, his question earlier on was, where does it go from here? I mean, you could take it from here and just go in a million different ways, but if you start shooting ideas down right away, it's going nowhere. It's
my two cents worth. Say the phrase one more time.
Every idea is innocent until proven guilty.
Ah, right. Good. Every idea is innocent until proven guilty. Cool.
I had a question. As a professional, sometimes it seems like brainstorming can evoke, run its way to the impossible, or something that you might have a larger context you need to pay attention to in terms of institutional policy or something. Can you talk about briefly, in about 3 minutes or so we have left, or less, how you can kind of manage that transition from the big picture ideas of what we think we can do to the point where you're actually evaluating what's possible in technical or other ways?
Right. You know, I think when you set up the initial brainstorming session, you're looking at a very specific outcome, purpose. And you're kind of setting some ground rules too. You're saying, this is just about generating ideas. We're gonna be creative. We're gonna get the expanse of our brain covered on this sheet of paper, or however you're doing the brainstorming. So for starters, I believe that it's important to set a separate session to come back and maybe use some of those ideas, or at least have a big old break in between these two sessions, because you're changing the purpose now. You're going from creative idea generation, I want everything out there, to a more targeted, specific, okay, now let's put these ideas in the context of the project or the task that we have. I also like this gentleman's idea, and I'll repeat it, where you actually take those ideas then in this next session, and you start to categorize them even more based on a more of a hierarchy with a more a sense of order, which hopefully will become apparent when you get to this part. I mean, you'll have ideas about how to organize these things. That's going to just happen. It's the way our brains work, I think. But does anyone else have another part of that answer that they'd like to share?
Really quick, because we are almost out of time.
Yeah. I think it's a great question. It's similar to what you asked earlier about what do you do next? You know, you've got your creative stuff. What do you do next? And hopefully that gets you started, but maybe that's next year's topic.